Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Second and five. Coming right to left in the white jersey, silver helmets and pants. Rush under pressure. Throws deep. Skinny post. Walk in. CeeDee Lamb. He got clear and he walked the dog. 30 and a touchdown.
Little post, corner post for the Cowboys' number one receiver. Six catches, 97 yards, and that touchdown as the Cowboys beat the Commanders 25-10. 3-1 on the season. Cooper Rush becomes the first quarterback in Cowboys history to win his first four starts. Star up, star down throughout the entire morning on DFW Sports Station. Was that the dagger? The 30-yard route? Making it 22-10. You had some defensive plays afterwards. Trayvon Diggs really stepping up in this game, just owning and dominating Terry McLaurin. Richard Sherman and other corners were tweeting and talking about Trayvon Diggs on social media as Sherman said, "Look, man, you got to give it up to this guy. It's not just the interceptions." He said, "Looks like he's answering every question this year, checking off boxes. He looks elite." And someone said, "Have you seen a DB with better ball skills than Diggs in the last 10 years? He said, "There's been very few. Xavier Howard, Marcus Peters, who's Mr. J.C. Jackson, but Diggs is making it look easy. I think I saw Dez predict one for him today. Dan Quinn knows how to call defense and put his corners in a winning position. You love to see it." And yeah, Dez tweeted, "I feel Diggs' pick. And I think Dez cashed in another $10K betting on this football team."
Man.
He is cleaning up.
He's like the Floyd Mayweather of the NFL.
Yeah.
Just cleaning up on these bets.
Drake, I thought I saw last week, bet on the Cowboys to beat the Commanders.
That's never a good thing.
He cleaned up as well.
That's never a good thing. You don't want to be on the side of Drake when it comes to fandom. Either jinx, every team he roots for. I always thought that was the jinx, but... Look, the secondary as a whole played phenomenal yesterday, I thought. They had themselves really, really good afternoon.
My start down may go to Anthony Brown. I didn't love the game that he had, but Deron Bland, Donovan Wilson, Trayvon Diggs, star ups.
I don't know that I remember the, you know.
Well, he was in coverage Brown on the game. Dotson touchdown. I didn't think it was terrible coverage. But
that was a good throw. Because they said it had a 30% chance. 30% completion chance when on that play. That's a really nice play then by the offense. That's like hitting the pitcher's pitch. You know, that was all. That's a good form of production right there from those two.
Mike McCarthy, after the game, on his team continuing to get it done, their resolve without Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think clearly the football team's, you know, keeping it in perspective. You know, clearly understanding, you know, this is a big division game, you know, and it's just like every week, you know, there's certain things, you know, you focus on as far as how you want to play in specific situations, and I think our players have just done a really good job of, you know, staying true to expectations of their particular role, you know, what we're trying to do as far as running the ball, you know, our run defense. You know, I thought the first half, you know, they obviously had some run, they had run production, and, you know, and the message at halftime was you know, pick up the run defense, and I thought our defense did a great job of that. So, obviously, we're keeping the point totals down, you know, 10 points. you know, offense, we were able to, you know, hit a couple big plays. And, you know, I think we had three or four penalties, you know, first downs, you know, from shot plays and so forth. But, you know, I thought we did a nice job in the first half on third down, but, you know, not as well in the second down. So, once again, you got the ebb and flow of the game, but the complementary focus and really confidence that they have in one another. It's, you know, it's definitely building each week, and this is a very good home win for us.
Yeah, run D picked up. They gave up 100 in the first half, only 40 in the second half. So they got better with their run defense. My only other star downs, Brian Anger's punt.
Oh, that was awful.
Start of the fourth, kicked a 30-yarder. Diggs ended up knocking away the fourth down throw. So thanks to Trayvon for the bailout. And then I had to give a star down to Mike McCarthy. Fourth and one on the Washington 10 with 4 minutes left. You're up 22-10. You get the yard, it's ball game. Instead, they kick the field goal. And look, they have no fear. No worry of Carson Wentz and the offense. But try to get the yard. And even if you don't, the Commanders have it on their 10, down 12. Two-score game with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, it's a two-score game either way. Kick the field goal, keeps it a two-score game. Going for the first down basically ends the game, or maybe even makes it a three-score game. You know, the only thing the field goal did is it guaranteed you weren't going to lose based on just two touchdowns. That's really all it did. Truck.com text line right here coming in, and they're saying that star up to clean up the penalties wasn't bad at all. Star up CD, star down running game. How did Brown get a star down? He was great again yesterday. Donovan Wilson, star up. Dude made some really, really, really nice tackles. You know, I do want to with the run defense, because their Commanders were down in the second half. How much of their lack of overall yardage was because they didn't run the ball that much in the second half? It looked like they only ran like 20 something plays in the second half. But the run defense early on was gashed, absolutely gashed. To give up 100 yards rushing,
they're running around that left side.
To give up 142 yards rushing when you win a game by two touchdowns is pretty wild. That doesn't happen very often. You don't usually see the team that loses the game by two scores more than double the winning team's rush yards.
It felt like Tony Pollard was non-existent in this game.
It felt like all the running backs were non-existent in this game. How is Zeke getting 19 carries when he's gaining about 2.5 yards a carry? Where are these coming from?
Pollard ran it 8 times for 6 yards, and he had 1 catch for 2. The carries have to be at least split. 19-8.
Neither one could carry. I mean, you know, there again, Zeke is tripling him up. Like, what's going on? One of the worst rush performances that we've seen.
So they end up with 29 for 62, but Cooper Rush, 15 of 27 for 223 and 2 touchdowns. And he was asked what this ride has been like, 4-0. To start off his Cowboy career.
It's been fun. Try and enjoy it. You know, the NFL doesn't let you enjoy it much. You got to go in, week out, and play. But, you know, the 4-0 is just, I mean, you guys saw today, the defense and, you know, all the breaks we catch. And, you know, it's just kind of lucky. QB win stats are, they are what they are. it's a team game. And, you know, it's nice having those the defense have our back like that, and some special team plays, and Brett's making kicks, and we're doing just enough on offense.
Man, he sounds like a raving good time on a Friday night. Imagine him and Kellen Moore getting down.
That's probably why they're so close.
Right? Did you remember the Parcheesi board? Did you remember to bring it?
They still play Parcheesi these days, huh?
Don't know.
It's a good throwback.
But there's Cooper Rush. We'll ask Bobby Belt coming up here in about 10 minutes.
If he plays Parcheesi?
No, he tweeted yesterday, another example of why Dak needs to return pronto. So there's Bobby stirring up the Dak heads already after the Cowboys moved to 3-1. Unfortunately, the rest of the division outside the Commanders also won. The Eagles were down 14-0 in Jacksonville. It was a big fourth down Jalen Hurts TD that was scored. A.J. Brown puts up more numbers. Miles Sanders went off. And the Eagles are the last unbeaten team in the NFL with a record of 4-0. And Daniel Jones was running around until he got hurt as the Giants beat the hapless, sorry Chicago Bears. So we are 3-1. The Giants are 3-1. And the Eagles are 4-0. That's what the NFC East looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now, through 4 weeks, record-wise, it's the best division in the NFL. Now, we all know that's not true. But they had two playoff teams last year, and I think they're going to have two playoff teams this year with right now the Cowboys and the Eagles, and I do not believe that the Giants are going to keep this up. They can't.
This is the way your NFL Sunday morning started off in London.
Zach Woods snaps. Hunter Gilligan holds, snap spot. Lutz, end over end, plenty of leg again. Double doink.
He missed it.
Double doink.
Double doink.
And the Saints can go marking out. The final score, the Minnesota Vikings 28, the New Orleans Saints 25.
God, I hate that guy. Ever since he came on, we fought about Stephon Diggs in Minnesota. God. I hate the Vikings play-by-play guy.
Paul Allen, is that Paul
yeah,
Allen?
Paul Allen. I actually do like his calls, but I just, you know, I pick at him personally. The double doink stops the New Orleans Saints with Andy Dalton at quarterback from beating the Vikings in London.
He's going to get Will Lutz is going to get some kind of blame for missing a 60-yard field goal, and he just shouldn't. But Minnesota, look, that's a quality win. That's a quality win by the Vikings. I don't know. I hate the London games. There's no atmosphere in the stadiums. Like there's no, it's like watching a bowl game. You know what I mean? There's no home crowd. I wish they would just do away with it. I don't want to watch it at 8 o'clock in the morning. I wish they would get away with it, man. I really wish they would, but they won't. They won't make some ton of money.
People love waking up to it. You get 3 hours before the noon kickoffs.
Yeah,
even more football.
I know, but it's like, you know, half the time. How many marriages does the NFL ruin with this? With this, because you know the lady is gonna she's gonna say, look, you get X amount of hours. You're right. Not getting four. You're not getting four windows.
Yeah,
pick a window.
Meanwhile, last night, did you stay up for the show that Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs put on Tom Brady?
Chiefs bring a rush. They throw it near side, caught by Gage. Now he's going to shovel it back to Godwin. He'll get tackled. Goodbye, Buccaneers. This game is over. Tom Brady in the regular season has a record against the Kansas City Chiefs of 5 wins and 6 losses. The Chiefs have beaten Tom Brady for a 6th time in his career, and they have done it beating him 41-31.
Man, Pat Mahomes was a magician again. They're running these fancy plays at the 1 and 2 yard line. Tom Brady and the Bucs, they were never really in this game.
They weren't. There have been 6 games where a road team scored 40 points or more against a Tom Brady team. Patrick Mahomes owns 3 of those.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Chiefs own 3 of those. One of them was like Alex Smith. They scored like, they won that game like 42-21 in New England or something. But the rest of the NFL, only 3 in Tom's career. It just goes to show you what the Chiefs and you know, whatever for whatever reason, they seem to put it on Tom in the regular season. Not in the playoffs, remember? Tom beat him in the playoffs a couple times.
Missouri had Georgia on the ropes on Saturday. They were leading the number one team in the nation, 19-12 after 3, but the Bulldogs pull it out. November 14th, 1981, the last time Oklahoma, A&M, Texas Tech, and Baylor all lost, and the Longhorns won. That's the last day it happened.
Wow.
November 1981. I'm catching heat, some Texas Tech heat after losing to number 25 K-State. And then you got TCU, probably the local story of the weekend with what they did to the Oklahoma Sooners.
Man, when is Sonny Dykes going to get some credit for this one? He has done a fantastic job going cross town and really making TCU look like a program that is back again. They kind of took a little dip down at the end of Gary Patterson's tenure, and they seem to be back right now. That was an absolute butt-whooping that they put on Oklahoma.
And you know who their OC is? Lincoln's brother.
Oh, is his name Omaha?
Garrett Riley.
Oh, Garrett.
Garrett Riley lighting up his brother's former college.
Yeah, and for Oklahoma, man,
that's back-to-back.
That's back-to-back losses. Back-to-back losses where you allow over 40. I think they've allowed 96 points in their last two games. Brent Venables is a defensive guy. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing how when you don't have Clemson's defense, how you don't look as good as you did. You know, it's pretty easy.
Aaron Judge is in town starting tonight. You going out there looking to strike it rich?
6 o'clock first pitch. It's an early game tonight. 6:05 first pitch. I don't know why they're doing it this way. There's some weird start times in this series. 3 o'clock on Wednesday, 6 o'clock today. They got a doubleheader tomorrow. But I'll be out there today. I'm trying to go Wednesday as well.
Where are you sitting?
I have no idea. My buddy got tickets. He's like, hey, can you go to the game? I'm like, yeah.
You have no idea.
No idea.
Aren't
I didn't
you
ask.
Curious to find out?
I don't think it's a question you can ask.
Well, they better be outfield seats,
it's
right?
It's a question for this you can ask. You want to sit in the outfield?
Oh, I don't want to sit in the outfield. I want to sit behind home plate. I don't want to sit in the outfield. I don't care about catching the ball. Let
wants to be on TV.
I don't want to be on TV. What I'm saying is, like, you know, it's like you can't ask who's coming to the party, right?
This you can. This you can say because you're not asking.
Well, oh, I know. If it's in the outfield, I need to know, do I need to bring a glove because of the Aaron Judge home run ball?
You said that people shouldn't be allowed to bring gloves.
I agree. I think you should, first of all, you should be put in jail if you bring a glove to a game if you're over the age of 12.
Headlines on a Cowboys Monday here on Sean and RJ. How are they celebrating inside the locker room, and why is he riling people up saying Dak Prescott needs to return as soon as possible? Our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell, joins us next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, and it's back to Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan segment brought to you by the personal injury lawyers Frankel & Frankel. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck, so companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Frankel & Frankel. Visit truckwreck.com or call them 214-333-3333.
Big third down. Snap to Rush. He's going to run out to his right with room. Somebody come help him. Throw it in the end zone for Gallup. Caught it. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Catching passes, drawing penalties. What a return for Michael Gallup. It's a Cowboys Monday after they improved to 3-1 by beating the Commanders 25-10 here on Sean and RJ, where we are joined by our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt on the Diamond Factory Hotline. His star up, star down is at 105.3thefan.com. What did you think of Michael Gallup's return game?
It was really good to see him back out there. I mean, he definitely, you can see, helps the passing game, not just with what he can do, you know, vertically, but the fact that he drew those three big penalties, one of them obviously undoing an interception that could have been really critical. But in general, I think, you know, passed all the tests that you were wondering about. You know, they still had Noah Brown in there more than Gallup. But, you know, I think that he's pretty much ramped up, and next week I'd expect to see him working a lot more in a full workload.
Who else was on your star up, star down lists?
Man, like the entire secondary, basically. I mean, I think everybody there is playing really, really well right now. And I think that, you know, you've got the pass rush, that's been good. All the pressure that they've been generating, that's been a big positive. But man, this secondary in a lot of ways, I think, has carried this team, especially when they've struggled in run defense at times. Mm. But, you know, Donovan Wilson, I think I'll watch the tape today. I'll get a better look at it. But Donovan Wilson seemed like the best player on the field to me yesterday.
Mm.
Like, that guy was making every single play. Trayvon Diggs, I think, had one of his better games. I mean, Richard Sherman was on Twitter yesterday saying, looks like Diggs has silenced a lot of people. He's an elite corner. And I think that's the thing, is that even though you're not seeing the same sort of takeaways early on this season that you saw last year, I mean, he already has two interceptions in four games, but, yeah, you know, it's not the, you know, 7-6 or whatever that it was last year. I think you're seeing a better football player this
yeah.
year. You know, you see things like the tackles in space that he made against Cincinnati late in the game. You see him, you know, not getting tested nearly as much down the field. You see that he's not falling for all these double moves. He made plays in the red zone yesterday. I think that Trayvon Diggs, you can say, is an elite corner, and so he's a star up for me. And then Deron Bland coming in, playing at a really high level as a fifth-round rookie. What's really interesting there, and I want the Tolos to have an understanding of, is that that's a very big deal that they didn't just slide Anthony Brown inside to play nickel, that they trusted the rookie enough to say, hey,
inside.
you can hold this down inside, because you don't have the boundary. You don't have the sideline basically there to act as an assist for you to cheat a little bit in your coverage technique. You've got both sides of the field open, and you're going against really shifty receivers like Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel. That is a big responsibility. You have to read and react very quickly in the nickel. And he did a really great job with it. Came up with the big interception, had the tight coverage on, I think it was McLaurin down there before the Diggs pass breakup on fourth down, where he came down with the ball, but he was out of bounds because Bland didn't give him any space there in the end zone. And so I thought Deron Bland played really, really well. But really the entire secondary is playing at a very high level right now.
Give us a little reset of Donovan Wilson's story and kind of his career path.
They were really excited about him when they took him in the sixth round. They thought they got a steal there. And I don't know if y'all remember, he had that preseason where he had like three or four interceptions as a rookie. Mm. And then he sprained his ankle really bad at the end of the preseason. And that kind of began this, you know, trajectory where we're constantly getting excited about what Donovan Wilson can do. And then he's getting hurt. He's been banged up a lot. But he's tough. They like his toughness and the type of physicality that he plays with. He's never going to be, you know, Earl Thomas, deep center field, Ed Reed guy. But, man, he is really good when he's playing downhill. He's got really good recognition skills. When he is asked to assist in coverage every now and then, like he did yesterday, he had the big pass breakup on Terry McLaurin. Honestly, he's probably lucky they didn't throw a flag for pass interference. I thought they were going to. But you see a guy who has made plays throughout his career. It's just been a matter of staying healthy, staying consistent. That's the story for both their safeties right now. Mm. Malik Hooker and Donovan Wilson, two guys who have made a lot of plays in their careers, who have just struggled with health and struggled with their consistency. And I think now that both those guys are healthy, they're both playing well, but Donovan Wilson stepping up into this J-Ron Curse role, I think you're seeing why these downhill safeties like, you know, Cam Chancellor, Keanu Neal, J-Ron Curse, why these guys have had so much success in Dan Quinn schemes. He puts those guys in a position to succeed in ways that other coordinators haven't quite been able to figure out yet, and now Donovan Wilson's reaping the benefits of that.
I don't know, but I'm dying to see this defense against like a high quality offense. You know, like even, you know,
they
even
played the Commanders yesterday.
I know, right? No, but like, you know, even like Cincinnati, you know, who knows, they have no line, and The Bucs offense wasn't great over the first 3 weeks. I think this week against the Rams, like, I can't wait for this defense against a really, really good offense.
I can't wait. I mean, Rams will definitely be a good test. I'm going to be really curious to see what they do against Philadelphia, a team that can really stress you running the ball, not just like with the running game, but with the quarterback, like who can run like that. And I'll be interested to see if they have Micah Spine, Jalen Hurts, and stuff like that. But that's obviously looking a little bit further ahead. But, yeah, these next 2 weeks are going to be really, really tough games for that defense. As well as they're playing, it's going to stress them. Even in a few weeks when Chicago comes to town, they run the ball pretty well, and they can stress defenses with the way they run the ball. They've had a lot of success doing that early on this season. So that's the one area I think where you'd like to see Dallas really improve right now, is that they're still having trouble, particularly stopping runs to the edge, either side. But you know, in particular, the left edge has been an issue for them at times. But
are they targeting Micah there?
I don't think they were targeting Micah. Typically, when I see people running to the left side early this season, it looks like they're more targeting Diggs and his run support, and they're just trying to get up to that second level and take advantage of that. But, no, in general, I just think that because it's both sides, really. To the right end, I think they're giving up something like 6.2 yards per carry this year. To the left end, it's 7. And so they're giving up, you know, some chunk plays there. They're really well. They're doing really well on the interior. They rank in the top 5, you know, in terms of running behind right guard, left guard. So when teams try to run the ball in the interior, they're not giving up big chunk plays on the run game. It's just that stuff to the outside that they're taking advantage of right now.
Bobby Belt, Cowboys Insider, on a Cowboys victory Monday via the Diamond Factory Hotline here on Sean and RJ. All right, why did you have to send out the tweet stirring everybody up? Why yesterday was even more evidence that Cooper Rush has to go and Dak Prescott has to return pronto?
What do you mean me stirring everybody up? Everybody stirs me up, Sean. Everybody's jumping in my mentions talking about, you know, oh, Cooper Rush. Which, by the way, we got somebody on the fan text over the weekend gave us a nickname for Cooper Rush that I like and I want to run by you guys.
Okay. Cooper?
The Ginger Avenger.
No, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that term.
Yeah, can we say ginger anymore?
We can. Alec Medford gave us the approval.
Oh, well, that's right.
Okay. Well, Sean, can you approve us for saying things? I can approve things, and we can all approve.
Yeah. Wait, why don't we ask Cooper in the locker room if he's cool with it?
I'll ask him that. I bet he'll give us a thumbs up.
Last time we talked about someone, you know, as the head coach in that manner, he wasn't too happy about it.
He wasn't at all.
I don't know. I mean,
well, he wasn't too happy with us in general, it felt like. So, yeah. I mean, that's the way that goes. No, look, here's the thing. I think that Cooper Rush does enough, and I think that he's a great backup to have, and he's a steady hand, and he'll take what you give him. The Cowboys should have scored 40 points yesterday, like honestly. And they should have been able to take advantage of more stuff in the passing game. And this has been something that's gone on for a couple weeks. They should have taken advantage of more against the Giants. They should have taken advantage of more against the Bengals. It's something that, you know, I heard Brian in the post game last night say it, that it's great that Cooper Rush has won 3 games in a row. The games playing out the way they have, I think they win all 3 of these games with Dak too. It's not like Cooper Rush is doing anything special. And winning these football games where he's taking advantage of what he gets. You know, he's you know, throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb and dropping it right in the bucket for him, but CeeDee's finding a soft spot in the coverage with nobody, you know, within 8 yards of him. And so that's where you see that. He there were 2 times yesterday where he should have been intercepted. He's still, and I know for everybody who's getting really excited about Cooper Rush, they get upset when I say this because they think he's super accurate right now. I mean, he's low 60% completion percentage. And he still is having trouble throwing the ball with accuracy outside the hashes in the short to intermediate area. So you talk about comebacks, out routes, things like that. He's having trouble hitting those. There's a lot of balls skipping at the feet there.
Why do you personally love Dak Prescott so much?
I mean, I just enjoy good football players.
There's got to be a story. He must have
bought
you something or complimented you or – giving you a great interview. What's the personal? Yeah. What's the attachment?
There's honestly zero attachment. I've been really high on him since he was at Mississippi State.
So it's wanting to be right.
Yeah, Which
no, it's
I
not
support
about wanting to be
because
right.
I'm the same way. You know, and I discovered Dak.
It's not about wanting to be right. I know I'm right all the time, and so I don't need validation.
It's not a want. It's not a want.
You, we right. Just, I guy, mean, yeah.
I got a homework. It's just I got a homework assignment for either one of you guys.
I mean, I love homework.
I don't want to do it. It's way too much work. But I would like to compare Dak and KMC. Don't steal this. We need to compare Cooper's game by game run right now to the beginning of Dak's rookie one.
I did that last week.
Oh, okay.
On my own.
Exactly. So maybe we can do that tomorrow. But look.
I can tell you it's not the same. I'm telling you right now it's not the same. You're talking about a guy, Dak Prescott was.
What percentage of people, go ahead, sorry. Talk about the differences in your mind and then we'll continue.
No, I mean, I think just if you're comparing statistically, it's not going to look the same. Dak was completing passes at a really high percentage. He went. You know, it was something like the first 11 games. He was right at the top of the league in terms of passer rating. He was like 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's not even the same. Now, look, Dak was getting a lot of simplified reads at the time, and that's one of the things I think people aren't seeing right now with Cooper Rush. They've eliminated a lot of the option routes in the offense. There's less to read. Defenses are trying to take away the run game. You saw that's what Washington tried to do. Giants, Tampa. Openly talked about that, and everybody's done that since. That was obviously with Dak with Tampa, but Tampa started that this year, and everybody has mirrored it since, that they're just trying to take away the run game.
Which, by the way,
getting some easier looks.
Yeah, which, by the way, that is the one thing I think that we are missing. I agree with you on the Dak versus Cooper thing. However, Cooper has not been helped out at all by the running game. But they've also been playing it. It has been a joke that what they tried to do yesterday running the football.
That's the thing. Cooper hasn't been helped out by the running game, but that's because teams are trying to take it away. Last year, at the end of last year, when all the struggles were going on with Dak, the running game wasn't helping Dak out, and teams weren't even trying to take it away. They were giving soft boxes and playing these, you know, cover two shells and dropping 6-7 defenders back into coverage and taking things away. There's a lot of times that Cooper Rush has seen single high safeties. He's not seen generally cover two looks. And it's simplified stuff. Look, whenever
they helped
out
in the run game against the Giants.
Yeah, the running game was good against the Giants, and especially on first down. But, like, I mean, they got nothing from Pollard yesterday. That was clearly right. What – I mean, you could see that's what Washington wanted to take away, which makes sense. That seems like a Ron Rivera tactic. Like, let's take away the running game. And you're seeing, I think, simplified reads for Cooper Rush. He does not get through his progressions nearly as fast as Dak does. Whenever it's covered up initially, you see that's when things start to break down and there's a little bit of panic and trying to maneuver the pocket. When he got tripped up by Jonathan Allen on the sack, that's because the first read got taken away. And so that's where Dak gives you, I think, better options, that he's going to be able to get through his progressions faster. He's a more talented passer, like flat out. I know people don't like to hear that. Who are the Dak asses? Is that what you call them?
They're the haters. Sean? They're the haters.
They don't like to hear that. But he's got better arm talent. He's the leader of this football team, and yeah, I think with what we saw on defense yesterday from Washington, they score 40 with Dak, and you know, against the Giants they probably score into the 30s, and against Cincinnati they probably score into the 30s, and so. It's nice that they've won these games. You're winning these games in large part right now because of your defense and because Cooper Rush isn't making a bunch of mistakes. But you're going to need to score some points at some point.
Bobby Belt here on The Fan. Do you want to give any of this credit to the coaching staff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's awesome.
Oh, here we go.
Which, I'm just kidding. They deserve a lot of credit, especially the offensive coach.
Why does Mike McCarthy deserve credit?
Because he's been a steady hand in a time where the leader of that locker room is basically removed and isolated, and that's an easy time for the locker room to fall apart, and they didn't. And so he deserves credit for that. And he deserves credit for the way that he's managed the staff and the rest of the coaching staff, Kellen Moore, Joe Philbin. They deserve credit for, you know, Kellen Moore deserves a ton of credit, I think, for something that we haven't talked a lot about. He has consistently put the offense in a position to succeed when he's not had the quarterback. You know, he worked all of his magic to score 9 points with DiNucci. Honestly, that was incredibly impressive in 2020. Garrett Gilbert had a lot of success against Pittsburgh. We've seen Cooper Rush come in and have success. When they're missing personnel, Kellen Moore does a good job of of putting the backup quarterback in a position to succeed. And I think people would like to see him do it more often with Dak. But I think that Joe Philbin deserves a lot of credit for what they've done. Jeff Blasco, too, the assistant offensive line coach, for what they've done to find some stability along the offensive line, a unit that really struggled in the second half of last year and had some struggles early on against Tampa Bay. But, yeah, I think the offensive coaching staff, there's a lot of pressure on them. And you know, those offensive coaches and Mike McCarthy are stepping up and doing a solid job right now.
Well, that's, you could see it sounded like it hurt to say.
No, it didn't. It didn't hurt to say. It didn't hurt at all. I was closing my eyes really tightly while I was saying it. But you know, by the way, I know you guys wanted to ask, you guys were curious. That was Nui. Nui asked the question about Dan Quinn. To Jerry.
Good Lord, Nui. What are you doing?
Nui.
Scary moment was Zach Martin getting hurt. He did come back in. Micah Parsons was holding his back at the end of that game. What's the injury situation?
Yeah, Micah Parsons just been carrying this football team.
Oh, so, you
know, he's having some back trouble. No, he said he was fine. Micah said he was fine after the game. My favorite quote from Micah yesterday was, he said, "We gave up 19 points week one, 17 week two, 16, then 10." He's like, "Next week it's 7," and he's like, "That's our standard. That we're just gonna keep lowering it." And so he was fine. Zach Martin clearly was a little hobbled, kind of rolled up that right ankle a little bit. But, I mean, they taped it up. He went out there. He finished. He said that he was good to go. It'll be more interesting to see the injury statuses of Noah Brown and Quentin Bohanna. Bohanna was down in a lot of pain, and he had been playing all right yesterday, and he's had some good moments this season. So you hope you don't lose him on the interior. But hopefully we get some positive injury updates this afternoon on Noah Brown and Quentin Bohanna.
Are you doing okay?
I'm great. Why wouldn't I be doing great? I got Zofran and Gatorade and made it to the air on Saturday.
Didn't show up Friday night. He didn't come to our appearance. So
I was because I was
the second second social event. It's like whenever we have like a gathering.
I knew you were gonna bring that up. I knew you were gonna bring that up.
What happened?
I can't help
just because
that,
I was gonna coach you a little broadcasting help on how to be a little bit more positive towards Mike McCarthy, you bail, you don't show up.
No. I'm more than happy for. I can't wait to join your media school, your little Zoom session, whatever you got going on. I'm ready for it.
Just admit you don't like people. You don't want to be around them.
I love people. Look, I get told I'm way too loud and social when we go to these things. And so I'm ready. I wanted to go and see the Tolos. I even gave I Venmo'd Corey Majors to buy a couple drinks for the Tolos.
So you want to give your money, but not your time.
I'm willing to. I drove out. I wasn't even supposed to do appearances. I went to the G Bag Nation tour over the weekend because I felt bad that I didn't get to see the listeners.
Yeah.
So I went out to Flagtober. I made stops in Fossil Creek and Irving with them. But no, I think I don't know. I'm guessing I just ate something wrong or something. I threw up like 3-4 times. So.
Cool.
So a stomach ache.
Tummy ache.
No, it's not a stomach ache.
You had a tummy.
I cannot wait for the next stomach flu Sean has. And I'm going to be talking all about it on the air and just like, what a little baby. He can't handle his vomit.
Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Bell.
I love you all.
Cowboys insider on the Diamond Factory hotline. It was not a good ending for me there at Terry Black's.
No?
Not good.
Because of, like,
drinks.
Yeah. I saw some of those Instagram photos of
not good.
Some shots. Shots were flowing.
Way too many shots. Didn't eat.
You didn't eat?
No. I was just going around getting stuff for, you know, I was talking too much.
Uh-huh.
I think we ended up at home like an hour and a half before the babysitter was supposed to leave. Not good.
Oh, you had to bail.
Had to bail.
Oh, no.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Or maybe had to be carried by the wife. I don't know. One of the two. Way too much fun. Thanks to all the Tolos who rolled out. And for Terry Black's, screw you, Bobby, for not showing up. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. PFF grades not out yet. Are they out?
They are not out yet. As of about 10 minutes ago, last time I looked, they are not out.
Okay.
They should be out. Man, you know, last year I feel like they came out around 7 a.m. This year I feel like they're coming out around 9.
So I'd like to catch y'all up on the former Cowboys. Amari Cooper had one catch for 9 yards.
Is it a road game?
It was a road game.
Man. Dude, I look.
That's what all the Tolos said, too. They're like, was it on the road? Atlanta?
Listen.
Falcons, Browns?
This is really weird.
And by the way, I told you the Falcons are a pain in the butt. They beat Cleveland by 3.
I know. We thought that was a gimme.
In a game no one cares about, Atlanta won that game. They're 2-2. The Browns are 2-2.
So, I get it in, like, basketball, right? If some people can't shoot in certain buildings. The background, the depth perception, it doesn't mesh well with their eyes. Some guys just can't shoot in certain places. I get it in baseball. Every mound is different. Some pitchers can't pitch in certain parks. Some hitters don't see the ball well with certain batter's eyes. I don't get it in football. I get it if there's weather issues. Okay, I understand that. Is Atlanta in a dome? I do believe they are.
I do believe.
I don't understand how how Amari Cooper can't play on the road. It makes no sense to me. I get it in the other sports. I get it. I don't think I get it in hockey. I wouldn't get it in hockey how you don't play well. But basketball I get, baseball I get. I don't get it in football.
Randy Gregory carted off. Looks like the Broncos could be dealing with a couple of major knee issues. Javonte Williams, who I drafted, he's feared to have a serious injury, and Randy Gregory carted to the locker room as well after he hurt his knee as the Raiders finally got Josh McDaniels his first win.
Yeah, good win by the Raiders. They desperately needed that one.
Desperate.
Desperately needed that one. And, you know, they're still in trouble to make the postseason. They're not going to win the division. That thing's that's cooked. The division's, I mean, it's not wrapped up or anything like that.
Was that a Russ reference?
Yeah, it was. But the Raiders desperately needed that win if they had any hopes of making the postseason.
All right, some of the other games, Seahawks-Lions ended up, you know, being one of the games of the day. TJ Hockenson going crazy for Detroit. Jared Goff went nuts as well. But the Seahawks and Geno Smith end up getting that win.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, if you were to tell me, I knew the Lions could score. Their offense is really good this year.
They were missing guys. I sat Goff.
They were missing Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift.
Williams stepped in there fantasy-wise.
Williams was tremendous. Hockenson had 8 for 180 and 2 TDs as the tight end. Goff had himself a good day. They are 1-3. Their 3 losses are by a combined 10 points. They are a statistical anomaly. Last year, I think they lost 8 one-score games. We've seen this with Bill Barnwell. He's taught this. He does this every year. The teams that are going to be better the following year or worse based on their amount of one-score losses or wins the previous season, because those things usually even out over time. Not with the Lions.
We're going to take Cowboy calls coming up at 8 o'clock. Your Cowboy calls, Brad Sham at 8:40, in a game in which I had zero interest in. The Titans beat the Colts 24-17. So the Titans are 2-2. The Colts fall to 1-2-1. We do need to talk about Kenny Pickett taking over. The Steelers were struggling against the Jets. Kenny Pickett comes in. He rushes for 2 touchdowns, but it was Zach Wilson making his season debut that gets the last second W for the Jets, who are 2-2. They win in Pittsburgh. The Steelers fall to 1-3.
Yep. And then you see, obviously, Kenny Pickett comes in. That was a good win by the Jets, though. A really good win. And then, Zach Wilson getting the touchdown pass. A reception, I should say. And then doing the gritty. That is the best. That's the best that's going right now.
Chargers.
Everyone's doing it.
Chargers and Justin Herbert get healthy against the armpit. They win in Houston 34-24. Austin Eckler going off in that game against me. Man, I was praying for Arizona to lose. Not praying. I wasn't that serious about it. But I was really, really happy early on. I was like, I want to see the dumpster fire. I want to see it detonate. But they end up beating Carolina. They started booing Baker in Carolina. As the Cardinals are now 2-2, the Panthers fall to 1-3.
Oh man, Matt Rhule is
done, cooked.
Yeah, he's done. He's cooked. I don't know where he's gonna go. If they should do him a favor and fire him early so he get a college job again.
877-881-1053, Trotrick.com text line. DK Metcalf was indeed carted off because he had to use the restroom. He later tweeted, there was no way he was going to make it there with the duck walk.
Yep. No way. The duck walk. No way he was going to clinch and hold that in.
He was clinching.
Yeah, no way he was going to hold that in. He did it right after a long pass. Like, he was sprinting down the sidelines. And all of a sudden, he felt something rumble. He got a couple of goosebumps. I had that a lot over the weekend. I had, my bathroom issues over the weekend.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but... It's probably the pizza. I have a pizza problem.
Yeah.
I am.
You're lactose intolerant.
I don't know if it's lactose because I eat cheese and I don't get it.
Huh.
I think I'm allergic to marinara sauce.
Well, you are fake Italian.
Fake, yeah, big time.
Terry Bradshaw announced.
Yeah.
Sad. So there were stories last week that Bradshaw was like slipping. He was kind of like having some Lee Corso moments. So he addressed it yesterday on Fox. He said he has battled cancer 2 times in the last year. Bradshaw lives around here. He said, look, last week on the show, I ran out of breath, and Howie helped me up. A lot of people are asking what's wrong with me, what's happened to me physically. I just want to address it. In November, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. I went to the Yale University Medical Center, surgery, treatment. As of today, I am bladder cancer free. That's the good news. Then in March, feeling good, I had a bad neck. I got an MRI. We find a tumor in my left neck, and it's a Merkel cell tumor, rare form of skin cancer. So I had that surgery done at MD Anderson in Houston. Folks, I may not look like my old self, but I feel like my old self. I'm cancer-free. I'm feeling great, and over time, I'm going to be back to where I normally am. So that is fantastic news that Terry Bradshaw is 2 for 2 in terms of overcoming cancer. And then did you see the J.J. Watt stuff?
Is this the heart stuff?
Yeah.
What the heck? Is he not like 30?
I know. J.J. Watt was like very emotional, said he had a heart procedure and that it was going to end up getting leaked out. So he wanted to address it. His lip was quivering after the game, after they beat the Panthers. He was talking about the impending birth of his son, Peyton. You should probably try to find the audio. And he had a scary health situation. He said, I went into AFib on Wednesday, had my heart shocked back into rhythm on Thursday, and I'm playing today. That's it.
Whew.
Had his heart shocked back to normal middle of the week, and he's going to be playing against Carolina, which he did, a regular heart rhythm that begins in the heart's upper chamber. So that was J.J. Watt with a very crazy medical week and weekend.
Crazy. I mean, AFib? That just sounds... I can't imagine being that age, having to have your heart shocked back into beating.
And then Josh McDaniels and the Raiders, they did win despite the onslaught from this former player, Tyler Palumbus. Remember his name? Played for the Lions, Seattle, Washington, Atlanta, and Denver during his 7-year career. Well, late last week, he shredded Josh McDaniels. He was with McDaniels in Denver the first time, where Josh went 11 and 17.
Started off great. What is he, 6-0?
Was that the BS Tebow run?
No. That was...
Cutler?
It was... either Cutler or Orton. Let me look.
Here's some of the tweets. In honor of Raiders Week, I present my favorite Hurricane Josh McDaniels stories. After trading away the young nucleus of our offense, including Jay Cutler, Josh said to the entire team, "Fellas, don't worry about the QB situation. I can turn a high school quarterback into an all-pro." After completing training camp with fully padded two-a-days, as often as he was legally able to do, he gave us a special reward after practice. It was an ice cream truck and a T-shirt that said Iron Man. Our reward was ice cream. Thanks for the creamsicle. Number three, every single day began with a 10-minute bad football reel from the day before where he would dog cuss you and your coach for any bad play from practice 24 hours ago. Set the tone for a real positive day in front of the entire team. Four, we had about 25 slogans painted on the walls. God forbid you forgot what the slogan was above the door entering the cafeteria.
Jason Garrett had those.
Josh would call players out in team meetings and ask what each slogan said. If you forgot a single word, ass chewing. After the season, I had my exit interview. He spent 10 minutes telling me everything I sucked at, but he looked so depressed and miserable that when he was done, I didn't care what he said about my play. I was concerned for him. Coach, are you all right? Columbus asked Josh McDaniels. Response, that's a hard man to work for. So are you coming back? Coach, hell no. Me, you getting fired or leaving? Coach, I don't care, but I'm getting the hell out of here. So that is this former NFL player putting Josh McDaniels on blast before they got the win over the Broncos.
Man,
that's awesome.
This is another case of trying to do the things the Patriot way, you know, but they take it a step too far. It seems like they all do that. And oh, by the way, the Patriot way was Tom Brady. You know, it's really amazing how Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel and Josh McDaniels and all these guys fail when they don't have Tom Brady. It's kind of odd how that works.
Around the NFL with Sean and RJ on a Cowboys Monday, let's start lining them up. Peyton is going to answer the phone. It's time for Cowboy calls to celebrate the win over Washington. Let's try not to make it about Dak and Rush. Let's just try to enjoy it today, and then we can argue the rest of the week. But you can take it wherever you want. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Your Cowboy phone calls. As we get to 3-1, next on Sean and RJ.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.